All right, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, I mentioned this to the kids, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the way that he called his first disciples was this. It might sound kind of familiar. Jesus told Peter, the fisherman, to take his boat out into the deep water, and Jesus told him to let down his nets. Peter replied, "Well, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything so far, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done that, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Sounds a little familiar to our reading today. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will go fishing for people." Well, our scripture reading for today starts in kind of a strange place. These events that we read about in John chapter 21, these events took place after Jesus' ministry on earth was mostly completed, after his death on the cross, after his resurrection from the dead. And so Peter and Thomas, Nathanael and the other disciples, they have all spent years following Jesus by now, years following Jesus through his earthly ministry. They witnessed his death. They met the resurrected Lord. In fact, just before the events of our reading, Jesus appeared to his disciples. Jesus met his disciples and he said this to them. He said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." But the disciples didn't yet understand what all this meant, so they went back to fishing. And again, they fish all night. Again, they catch nothing. Yet, even though they didn't know it was Jesus standing on the shore, when they let out their nets at the Lord's command, what happens? But they are suddenly overwhelmed by a great catch. And I think if they didn't get it before, the disciples get it now. Jesus had told them to go fishing for people. Jesus sent them into the world as he himself was sent. And when the disciples fished according to the Lord's command, what a catch they received that day. And the resurrected Lord is teaching his disciples something here. He's teaching them that the church, God's people, the church in its nature is sent into the world. The church is not meant to be still. God's people are not meant to be still. We are meant to be active. We're meant to be moving forward. We're meant to be going into the world and bringing with us the life that only Jesus gives. And so we've been talking about this for the last few weeks. Over the last few weeks, we've looked at the vision that we believe God has given us as a church for this new season of our life together. We took some time to ask ourselves who we are. What is our community like? What do we believe God has put us here to do? Why has he put Southwest Lutheran Church right here in this place and gathered this people here? What does he want us to do? And we came up with a vision for our life together. And so then we looked at the why of our vision a few weeks ago. And we said, why are we here? We're here to bring peace to a weary world. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so whether we find ourselves burdened by guilt, by stress, by debt, by mental or physical illness, by the expectations of our world, by sin, or by anything else, we know that only Jesus has the power to take those burdens from us and to finally give us rest. And we talked about the who of our vision. And we said that our mission target in this, this mission target for our new, for this phase of our life together, our mission target is to reach out to families with young children. And there's a simple reason why. There's a lot of them nearby. There's a lot here. And our current gifts, our current ministry partnerships, our current facility, and the people who are here right now, we believe that our current gifts have equipped us to effectively serve this group of people and to show the love of Jesus Christ to them. And now this doesn't mean that other people are unimportant. Southwest Lutheran Church always has been and always will be a place for all people and a place where all people can belong. But we challenged ourselves in this to get specific with a mission outreach target. We challenged ourselves to focus our efforts on one group of people so that we might make a big difference for a small group rather than spreading our efforts all over and making a very small difference across a whole wide swath, for all kinds of people. We wanted to make a difference with one group of people. And so then last week we talked about the what of our vision, the what, our outreach strategy. There's different ways that we intend to reach out and to serve the people of our community, the families of our community. One is through family life education, something that we can all learn ourselves as well, helping people learn to be better spouses, better parents, better grandparents, better children, and more. Another way we do this is through family support. Doing what we can to make the lives of parents and children a little better. We're also reaching out to people in the midst of relocation, helping people who are in the midst of that very difficult time of life, whether they're moving to Fort Wayne or moving around Fort Wayne, we want to help people through that very challenging time. And so today, we've talked about what, we've talked about why, we've talked about who. Today, in the final message that we have about our congregational vision, we're talking about the how. We're talking about the how of our vision. And let me share a lesson with you that I learned when I was studying to become a pastor. The lesson here was that we always need to be teachable. So we were sitting in class, and the professor was telling us, what really makes you a pastor? He was teaching us that. What makes you a pastor? And so he asked us a question. He said, who here thinks you want to be a pastor? And of course, we're at a school, we're at the seminary, where people go to learn to be pastors, and so every hand went up. And then he asked us again, who believes that God has called you to be a pastor? And now, you never know where they're going with this. That's a little stronger statement to say, God has really called me to be a pastor. And so some people aren't sure. They say, well, maybe, the hands go down, and they say, well, I think I want to be a pastor, but I'm not totally sure. Okay? Some of the hands go down. So the professor says, everyone put your hands down, and he starts to explain. And he says first to the guys who put their hands down, they said, I think I want to be a pastor, but I'm not sure God called me to be a pastor. He says, that's okay. Don't worry. A lot of people come here, and they're not really sure whether they want to be a pastor, but you're here. The thought is strong enough. The desire is deep enough that you've taken the first step. And he says, in any way, you know, it's like 3.5 years until you have to really be sure on this. So you've got a little time to figure it out. Don't worry. And then the professor speaks to those guys who kept their hands up, and they said, yes, I believe God has called me to be a pastor. And our professor said, it's great that you have that passion. It's great that you have that desire, that purpose in your life. But he says, you're the ones we kind of have to worry about. You're the ones we have to worry about, because the more passionate you are about something, the more likely it is that you're going to leap before you look. The more likely you are to think that you've got it all figured out already. And so it doesn't happen too often, but every now and then they have a student arrive at the seminary who has this attitude, and they say, well, I don't need to learn anything because God called me to be a pastor. It doesn't matter what you guys say. And so they ignore what their teachers are saying, and they don't learn a thing, and then they go and make a huge mess of things, either in their field work or their internship that comes later. Usually they don't make it past that, which is a good thing, that they find that out sooner than later. But that's sad when someone doesn't learn, because the whole point of that education is to help these young leaders learn to live and to think and to act in the way that God intends them to. And so, our professor said, be teachable, because the point of your education is to help you learn to minister in the ways that Jesus teaches us to minister. And now let's think about the church. The church throughout history has known that it's sent into the world, and the church has gone into the world, but the history of the church is also littered with times when the church went forth in ways that don't actually line up with the ways that Jesus ministered. It was as if Jesus said, I'm sending you guys, now go figure it out. There is no further guidance. But the truth is that how we are sent will always reflect how Jesus was sent to us. We know that Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, Jesus tells us, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he won't speak on his own. He'll speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's in us, will guide us into all the truth. And the truth he's talking about there is not simply about doctrine. It's not simply about having theological statements about what's true and false, although that's very important. The truth is bigger than that. This truth is about the way of Jesus Christ, the way that Jesus was sent by the Father, and the way that Jesus has sent us as well and called us to live in this world. And so as we ask how to live at our new vision, we know a few things. We know that the Holy Spirit will guide us in this. The Holy Spirit will guide the church in being sent, as he always does. We're not left on our own. We're not left to our own devices to figure out what we're supposed to do to go out and pursue God's mission in the world. We know that the Spirit of God is present with us even now. And we know that the people of God are a people of God's presence. And how we do our mission depends on us acknowledging this fact and letting the Spirit of God lead us in the how of our vision. But we also need to be aware, as we do this, that there are some common ways in the history of the church that the people of God have done the right thing in the wrong way. Here's a story. Eugene Peterson, you may know him, you may not. He is a Presbyterian pastor and author who's now retired. You probably know his most famous work. He is the guy who translated the Message Bible, which if you're familiar with that, it's a version, a translation of the Bible in contemporary American speech, and it sounds really weird if you're used to like the traditional Bibles we have, but it's supposed to be a little more accessible to people who have never picked up a Bible before. Okay, he translated that Message Bible. And so Eugene Peterson tells a story about how he grew up in a Pentecostal church. And there in that church, he was taught to pray for his friends who were lost and to evangelize them, to share the gospel with them. And one of the people that Eugene Peterson prayed for was a bully that bullied him. This bully tortured him. And he shares a story that one day Eugene got tired of this. He surprised the bully. He got the upper hand. Eugene tripped the bully, so the bully's on the ground, and then he jumps on him, and he starts beating the bully with his fists. And then his training kicks in, and he begins to shout, "Accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior." And eventually, the bully, to make it stop, he did so. And I think we can agree, this is doing the right thing in the wrong way. I don't think we'll make that mistake ourselves, hopefully. But there are some more subtle ways that we do the right thing in the wrong way as the church. And especially as we talk about reaching out to our community, sharing the gospel. Some of these things include, one is doing the right thing in our own power. You know, there's many needs, even right here, even in our own community, wherever we're at in Fort Wayne, but we cannot meet all the needs of our city. Only God can really meet all the needs of the world. And so our job is not to fix the world. Our job is not even to fix people and to fix people's lives. Our job is to be priests to the world. Priests to the world. And that means our job is to connect the world to the Father. And to do that, we have to first ourselves be in touch with the Father. We need to be in God's word. We need to be gathered around his word and sacrament and worship. We need to receive all the good things that God has for us so that he will strengthen us and we can go out with him instead of going out away from him. And so we can't rely on ourselves. We have to rely on God to do this work in us and through us. We also do things the wrong way when we might do the right thing, but we do it by ourselves. Throughout the New Testament, the whole pattern of ministry in the New Testament is God sending his people out in teams or two by two. There's times when Jesus sends out his 12 disciples. There's times when Jesus sends out 72 disciples. When we look at Paul, when he did that, he sent them out two by two. He never sends them out solo. Paul, when we look at Paul always had traveling companions. He never worked alone. He didn't just wander off into the wilderness by himself. There's so many advantages to doing ministry in a team, to reaching out in a team. There's strength. There's mutual support. There's companionship. There's fellowship. There's accountability. It's just more fun. And there's even more. And so as the church moves into the world, it goes in teams. As the church moves into the world, as we go into the world, we go in groups. We go in groups. Finally, we do things the wrong way when we do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. And this happens probably more often than we'd like to admit. Sometimes we just want people to be like us. And we think if we can get them in church, they'll be like us. Sometimes we want to fix people. Sometimes we hope we can change the people in the neighborhood so that our neighborhood will change. Sometimes what I'm saying is we have an ulterior motive. We're looking for something beyond just the simple act of loving and serving others. But God calls us simply to love and to serve. If we're loving people in order to accomplish some other objective, then we really aren't loving them. We're doing something for ourselves. And so as the people of God, we know that we love people because that's just what we do. That is what we're commanded to do. That's what Jesus models for us. And this is only possible for us if God has put in us his love for others. And so three ways that we do the right thing in the wrong way. When we do the right thing on our own power, that doesn't work. When we try to do the right thing and we're going at our lone, that doesn't work. Or when we do the right thing for the wrong reasons, that doesn't work either. And so the right thing is only right if we do it in the right way. The means and the ends have to line up. The church, this is because the church is sent into the world as a sign to show the world what the ways of God are like. Our job is not to recruit members for a church. Our job is to put on display the ways of the gospel. Our job is to show people what Jesus is like. In a way, we're copying the life and ministry of Jesus in our own lives so that others will see and hear and experience the good news, and they'll want to participate in it too. And so now let's go back to the question of how. How does this work? What does it look like? It's one thing to say that the Spirit is with us and the Spirit will guide us and that we will model Jesus in our own lives and we'll go out together. But what exactly does that mean? Because it's still a little vague. But I believe we can get more specific. And in fact, the story in our reading today kind of serves as a metaphor for the how. You know, I'm not sure that in putting this story in John chapter 21, the Apostle John actually meant to say, here's a blueprint for mission and outreach for your church, but it actually works pretty well, if he intended that or not. We know certainly that Jesus is sending his people to go fishing for people, fishing for men. And so this is what happens. As we go out into our community to love and serve the lost, we call that net fishing. Net fishing. And if we look at this story, we can see some things about this story that help us to see how our vision will work in practice. And so in our story, Peter said, I'm going out to fish. The others responded to him. They said, we'll go with you. So they're going in a group. They were doing what they knew how to do best. They were fishermen, right? They understood how to fish. But what's remarkable is they caught nothing. They worked all night. They caught nothing. This can happen in the church today too, by the way. Sometimes we think we know what we're doing. We know the gospel. We know the ways of God. We think we know what we're doing when we go out, but we still don't catch anything when we go out and we try to be fishers of men. Well, what happened in the story, then Jesus said, well, throw your net over here. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and then you'll find some fish. And the direction of Jesus changed everything. Even though the professional fishermen thought they knew how to fish, all of their efforts apart from the Lord were pointless. But with one word from Jesus, they couldn't contain all the fish they caught. And so what does this mean for us? This little story of the disciples fishing and failing and then succeeding wildly when they followed the word of the Lord. Well, we can take a few lessons. First, we just have to remember that in order to catch any fish, you've got to go fishing. How many churches in America today wonder why there are no new fish coming in when they don't go fishing? I think there's lots. We're not going to catch any fish by staying in the safety of the shores. We have to get out of the walls. We have to get to know people, to listen to their needs, and to care about their stories. We have to go fishing. That's lesson number one. Second, we can see that we learn to fish by fishing together. The disciples were together. Net fishing is a team job, and if Peter out there was all alone, he would not have been able to do anything. So this isn't something we can learn from books. This is something we learn by doing, by going with others and learning from them. And third, what we see is that net fishing is a different kind of thing than angling. I asked the little kids, who here has gone fishing? You've been fishing before? Like, put your hands up. I can see you guys. You've gone fishing before, and chances are that's like you did when I was my grandfather. You're sitting on the boat or from the shore, and you take your rod and your reel, and you cast it. And then you let it sit if you've got the little bobber, or maybe you reel it in, you troll for it. You're angling, right? That's angling, where you fish one at a time, you have a hook, and you hope the fish catches it, or you hope the fish comes and takes it. You put out the best-looking bait you can, and you wait for the fish to come to you. But net fishing is a little different. In net fishing, you don't have anything to attract the fish. That's not the job. With net fishing, what you're trying to do is you're trying to figure out where the fish are, and you go to them. So that when you drag the net through, you catch some. Net fishing requires you to understand where the fish are. It requires a coordinated effort and teamwork, like we're saying. And net fishing is something you have to do together, or else you can't really do it at all. It's not a solo job. And so, excuse me, I'll be honest, net fishing, if we have to compare the two, net fishing is more challenging, isn't it? It's harder to do. It takes more effort. Net fishing is not like spending a day on the boat in the lake with a cooler of beer. It's a different kind of animal. But when you haul the net in, and I'm sure you've seen videos of this, you've seen pictures maybe, when you're standing on the deck of the fishing trawler and they haul in the net and then they cut the thing open so hundreds of fish, it's like a wave onto the deck of the boat. Hundreds of fish spill out. Well, if Jesus has sent us to go fish for people, what do you think we should be doing? What do you think we should be doing? Which technique are you going to use? So we net fish. And finally, we need to keep in mind the goal of it all. The goal of it all is that we are reaching out to love people. And loving people means that we offer them the truth about Jesus. The point of all of this is to tell people that Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead for you and for me and for them so that we would be forgiven, so that we would be made new, so that we can have a relationship with our Lord and God. And so the mission plan for net fishing is pretty simple. Go to the fish, be where they're at, and be the people of God, loving and serving while we're there. We have an opportunity for you to go net fishing. We've already planned this. We've started talking about this. We have a net fishing event coming up. We've planned this first net fishing event that we're doing as a church. And we were talking about it already with our People of Passion group. Saturday, July 15th. Put that on your calendars. We're going to go to the park right near us, Indian Trails Park over here. And it's really simple. We're going to love people and serve them in a very simple way. We'll have a grill. We'll have drinks. We'll have hot dogs. And we'll have some chips. And we'll give them to people who are there and say, here, have a good day. We love you. That's pretty simple. And as we're there, we'll make sure that people know that we are the people of God as we love and serve them in that way. Now, let me say, if you have never been part of a Christian mission or outreach event, this is the place to get started because this is about as simple as it gets. Is there anything easier than handing a hot dog to someone? I mean, you've got to get the glove on right, I guess, and wear the hairnet, but that's you can handle that, I think. You can do that. There's nothing simpler. It's a simple act of service, though, that opens the door to new relationships with the people of our community. And so let me encourage you, if mission and outreach sound like scary words to you, if you've never done anything like this before, try this. If you're not sure whether you're really cut out to seek and save, to love and serve the lost, this is the perfect opportunity to take some baby steps into joining God in his mission. And on the other hand, if you've done lots of Christian outreach and service and you're comfortable talking to people and you want to pray with people, this will be a great time to say hi to some people, a great time to sit or stand with them for a few minutes while they eat and to ask how the people of God here at Southwest Lutheran Church can be a blessing to them in their lives, to pray for them and their neighbors or whatever else may come up. You can do that too. So whether you want to cook or clean or serve or talk and pray or play with some kids at the playground, there is a way for you to serve on the 15th. And so let me encourage you to look at this in your bulletins. There's some kind of orangey cards, or not cards, papers. This is so that we know who's coming. You don't have to fill this out today, but if you think you want to be there on the 15th, I would encourage you to do so. And it's pretty simple. There's some information on the top part, all the stuff I just said. And then on the bottom part, there's a little line, and you can fold it and tear it. And it says on the bottom, yes, I want to go net fishing. And I would prefer to serve in this way. If you want to do a little earlier or there's preparation or if you want to do be there the whole time we're there, there's the hospitality or clean up to arrival later and make sure you'll stay till everything's done. That works too. Or if you want to be there the whole time, you're welcome to do that. Check one or all those boxes and then tell us your name and your phone number so Julie Braun, our coordinator, can get in touch with you and then give us your t-shirt size because you get a cool t-shirt. That's one of those simple ways that we can let people know that the people of God are there serving. To say, hey, we're a church. And, you know, you can say that with your voice, but you can say it with a t-shirt too. So hang on to the t-shirts, and we'll keep doing service and outreach stuff, and we'll wear that every time we do so that the people of God, or so that people know the people of God at Southwest Lutheran Church are there in the community, and they're wearing these obnoxious yellow t-shirts, but they'll notice you. So in this, oh, by the way, so this, fill it out. You can drop it in the offering basket when we do that in a few minutes. So in this, know that as we go in our community, know that God is leading us. I really believe that. I believe that we are meant to be a church that makes an impact upon our world. We are a sent people by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And I believe that as we do this, we will see God working through us. We will see God working in our neighborhood in ways that even surprise and shock us, because that's what God does. So get ready, get involved, and get praying, because it's all him. Amen. All right, let's stand.